Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's not easy to describe a cartoon by George Booth. They're full of visual jokes and strange detail. Here's one. A guy's driven his ancient car up to a rundown service station in the middle of nowhere. There's a flat tire leaning against the wall. A rotund man in dirty coveralls has come out and he's saying, "I'm Leonard, and I'll be your auto mechanic for today." It's classic, weird George Booth, the way he makes old-fashioned people deal with contemporary manners. And it's just the tiniest bit cruel. Booth started publishing in The New Yorker in 1969, which is right around the time cartoonist Matt Diffie was born.
And the first time I sold a cartoon and got to come into the building, I came up, saw Bob Mankoff, the cartoon editor, and came down in the elevator, and I was just grinning ear to ear because I was so happy. And the doors opened in the lobby, and I was face-to-face with you, who was my cartooning hero. And I said, "Hi, Mr. Booth. My name's Matt Diffie. I just sold my first cartoon."
"Welcome aboard."
That's what you said to me right then. It was the best thing I ever heard.
I remember that in detail.
I remember seeing your work when I was a kid, and I think the first one that really made me laugh was the woman outside at the yard sale saying, "There's more inside." The whole yard is covered with clutter and knickknacks, and she's saying, "There's more inside."
That was a real scene.
Really?
That I saw. I exaggerated it, but it was reality.
Back in Missouri? Or
no, it was in New Hampshire, I think.
Okay, yeah.
But it's definitely a country. I believe greatly in drawing in cartoons what I see in life.
Yeah.
People recognize it.
Yeah.
And they love it. They laugh at themselves.
Do you still consider yourself a little bit of a country boy?
No, I'm a city slicker.
City slicker? They've turned you, huh?
Haven't you noticed?
Yeah, you're pretty slick. And you're from the city.
Your background is country, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
West Texas?
Yeah, rural Texas, North Texas, yeah.
There you go.
But we have that in common, I think. We both kind of come from the country, and then we've cleaned ourselves up, mostly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you still do a lot of country folks in your cartoons, for sure.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, Mama.
I can't help it.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I bet you can't either.
Yeah, I like those people, and I know them, yeah.
Mama.
Mama. How many cartoons would you say you are secretly drawing your mama in them?
The New Yorker series on Mrs. Ritterhouse.
That's based on your mom, kind
of? Mama.
Yeah, there you go. She was quite a lady, it sounds like. You've told me some stories.
Yeah, quite often I'm drawing her. On 9/11, New Yorker said, "We'll look this week, but we're not printing anything."
Yeah, right after it happened.
So I submitted a cartoon. About 9/11,
yeah,
because it was a very serious subject. And I drew Mawmaw sitting in a chair, and she was praying. And then I put out in front, I put a cat in a prayer position because he's flat on the floor covering his eyes with his two front paws. And they printed it.
Yeah,
it was
nice.
The only cartoon they printed that week.
Yeah, that was a nice little response. So tell me how you work. What's like a normal day for you cartooning-wise?
I think a lot. I read a lot. I never get my mind off of cartooning.
Really?
If I'm traveling on a train, you're probably the same way.
A little bit. Maybe not as much as I should be. But you're just a tinkerer, sort of.
Well, I started cartooning at 3.5 years old. I drew a racer car stuck in the mud, a Model T racer car.
Yeah.
And Mama was sitting there with me, and she was impressed with that.
Yeah. Now, could she tell what your drawing was? Because I looked at my early drawings, and they're pretty bad. She could tell it was a Model T.
Well, I can remember the drawing. There was no question about it,
because
that old car was stuck in the mud, and it was a racer car. She told my dad about this incident.
A budding cartoonist here in the family.
Yeah, this crazy kid thinks he's a cartoonist.
Yeah.
My dad had his mimeograph machine there and reams of paper. And he said, "Well, let George have all the paper he wants as long as he doesn't waste it." So I always had something to draw with. And I remember sitting in first and second grade drawing when I should have been doing my lesson.
In school, were the other kids always coming to you to say, "Hey, draw this, draw my dog, draw this so I can give it to my girlfriend"?
I had some of that, yeah.
Yeah, I was always that kid. I think you draw with a ballpoint pen. Is that correct?
I have. I shouldn't have, but I did.
Yeah.
I work with a medium permanent ink in the ink thing now.
But I wonder if that came from being a kid and having so much paper that you drew quick, probably, right? I feel like you're a fast drawer.
Fairly fast.
Yeah.
I use a copy machine, too. I'll draw a dog, and then I'll draw him again because I'm not quite happy with him. And then I'll rip his head off and put it on the other drawing.
Don't tell the kids you're ripping dogs' heads off.
Make a copy. Or I'll draw him facing left to get an expression, and then I'll flop it on the light table and trace him facing right because that's what the need is.
Yeah.
But I get the feel that I need.
There's something, I think there's something about you draw quick a bunch of different options and then you edit yourself and you choose. And I've seen some of your originals have a lot of cut out pieces that you stick on.
Paste them together.
Yeah, and just compile the best of several versions.
The way I define that is a lot of times the line I get or the drawing that I get or the expression I get is an accident.
Yeah.
And I believe in accidents in good drawing.
Yeah, your work definitely has that spontaneous feel, and I wish I could draw that way. I get really tight, and I tend to overdraw a little bit. I mean, it's my style. It suits my dry sort of cartoon style. Yeah, but
when it gets like that, you should scream.
Scream. Scream and start over and draw quicker.
I get a kick out of names, too.
Yeah, you've got some great ones in your cartoons. Murchison
is
my favorite.
There again is the reality.
Those are real people?
Names like Arnie.
Yeah.
Natalie Ditmerner was a name.
My grandmother was named Gussie Clyreen Diffie.
There you go.
That's a good one. Tell us why you draw so many dogs in your cartoons.
It's because if you have a man sitting in the living room, a husband who suffers husband things, say he has a dingy housewife who's sticking her head around the corner from the kitchen, and she's complaining about something, and her reasoning is no good. This can go either way because sometimes women have good logic and men don't. She says something dingy. The man has to tolerate it. But if you put a dog sitting there to look at you, the reader, the dog becomes a Greek audience. It's and sometimes I do it with cats and could do it with anything, even a cow looking at you, as long as they suffer some of the shrapnel that's going on.
So you draw the animal always looking at the viewer or not?
The animal does not have to look at you. If you're looking at the back of his head, you know he's suffering.
Have you owned both dogs and cats personally?
I've had kitty cats. And I had a sheep. My brother had chickens that were pets.
Yeah.
I had a dog in Pearl Harbor.
Okay. So in the Marines, you had a dog. You had a dog.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Oh, I was in a transit center waiting to catch that ship or go somewhere. And all these Marines standing real stiff at attention. And my dog would come chasing a mongoose through the ranks one way. And then you wait a little while, they come back, the mongoose is chasing the dog.
Sounds
I was
like
proud
a silent
of that.
Film.
Yeah. But
currently, you have cats, at least one. You have a house cat, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you kind of like cats better.
Cats are awful smart. I can't understand their intelligence.
Yeah, they're almost too smart. I like dogs because they're dumb, I think. Makes them lovable.
Dogs are like people. If you work it dumb a little bit, it works for you.
It certainly worked for me. Well, George, I think we're about done, but I just wanted to say while we're here on the radio that you are my favorite cartoonist.
Jokes are getting bad.
No, listen, I'm being sincere now. I'm saying that you're my favorite cartoonist.
Well,
and I really appreciate what you've done, and I've took a lot from it.
I appreciate that. Matt, you're my favorite West Texas
from
executive.
Favorite cartoon from Texas, yes.
Hey, Matt, is this for radio?
Sure.
You go ahead and get out of the tub and dry off if you want to, and I'll use the towel after you do.
All right.
Matt Diffie and George Booth. We've got some images of their work at NewYorkerRadio.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.